Welcome everybody, Yankees and Gravy, 2015 baseball season. Here we are. I am your host, Tommy. Just getting started with this year. We tried a couple last year. We did our best. We weren't able to necessarily get a ton of them out there. I think we got like three or four. But here we are again, taking another crack at it. We're going to try to really kind of be a part of it as many days as humanly possible. I mean, the goal will be to do one every day. We'll see whether it's 15 minutes, 45 minutes, who knows. But those of you who do not have any familiarity with the show, basically all it is me sitting in a room. Lifelong Yankee fan, go back to about the early 80s, probably 1982, 83. I do remember a little bit before that, but not much. Either way, totally not a professional baseball journalist, and I am totally not a broadcaster in any way, but I do appreciate the Yankees, and I appreciate what they do in terms of kind of breaking the, breaking the mundane tasks and duties of your job throughout the day and giving you a chance to kind of watch those Bronx Bombers and, you know, talk about them, enjoy them, talk about the good days, the good old days, the current days, which we'll get into, not so good, the future Yankees and stuff like that. Like I always had said last year, I'm hoping this gets better and better each week. That's the plan as well, but let's just jump right into it. These are my opinions. Like I said, not a professional, don't have any expert inside information or stuff, but I do kind of pay attention. So hopefully you will enjoy this and we will kind of have eventually a back and forth type of thing where, you know, we give me some feedback, stuff that you like that's good or bad or indifferent about the show. And you'll be a part of the show eventually, hopefully. Let's get into it right now. No particular order, jumping into a few topics. Derek Jeter, not going to be at opening day. Now, Derek Jeter, as you guys know, oh man, can we just touch on that? Like, I know it's been a while, haven't spoken since, but I can't even describe. And I'm not even what you would call a, you know, over-the-top Jeter freak. I am a Yankee fan. I was a Mattingly freak. I'm a Pettit guy. I liked a lot of Mariano, I like these guys, and I love Jeter, but I am not like a holy crap, Jeter is, you know, the second coming type guy. At least not as much as the next guy. I cannot deny the amount of thrills and memories and good warm Yankee feelings that Derek Jeter has given us Yankee fans over the years. But again, you know, there's a couple of things that rubbed me the wrong way. He never opened up. You know what I mean? You never got to see the real Jeter. You never got to know who he was. He was always so guarded. Now, he may have reasons for that. I'm sure he does. But either way, you know, you're not going to let us in. He was a grudge holder, too, to me. I'm kind of repeating myself. I said this last season a little bit, too. Aside for that, forget it. I'm nitpicking now on my man DJ. Love the guy and what he gave to us that one last time on that night when he... Man, it was indescribable. You want to say it was fixed? You want to say he grooved it? Whatever. I don't know. Is that some of that stuff possible? Yes, but until I learn and know otherwise, I am going to assume that Derek Jeter got a clean and legitimate base hit on the last at bat of his career to win his final game as a New York Yankee. I don't know about you guys. I was blown for Robertson to blow that game once I saw Jeter wasn't going to get up again unless he did. So I was rooting for that. But getting back, fast-forwarding to right now, we got to stay current, guys, because we got issues. We got Yankee issues, and they're not all good. Most of them aren't good. Jeter is not coming to opening day, and this is part of what I am talking about. Jeter is not a baseball nerd. You know, that's the difference between a guy like him and a guy like A-Rod. A-Rod is. A-Rod can't get enough of talking, hitting, can't get enough of being around the game, wants to know the score. He's a fan. He wants to know the, you know, Royals, White Sox score that's in the seventh inning in late May. He wants to know that score. He's into it. He wants to talk to the new players. He wants to teach. He wants to coach while he's on the field. Jeter's that cool guy. Jeter's that DiMaggio type of guy who just, you know, he's a cool guy, worked his ass off, busted his ass. But, you know, at the end of the day, baseball's in his rear view, it seems like, a little bit. He wants to travel. He wants to start businesses. He wants to do whatever. He says he eventually wants to own a team, which kind of sucks because that's going to kind of put him out of the Yankee realm of things. I think we all know that chances of him owning the New York Yankees are slim to none. So if he really wants to own a team, he's eventually going to be competing against the New York Yankees, which is a day I know I don't look forward to, and probably most Yankee fans don't look forward to. But he is not showing up to opening day, and I feel like you'll see a little bit of this. You'll see a little bit of the aloofness in terms of, you know when the senior graduates high school, and, you know, he was the captain of this, he was, you know, had all the girls and this and that, and he learns that college isn't the same, quite the same life, and he doesn't have it. You know, he goes from being the big fish in the little pond to the non-existent fish in the big pond, and he kind of comes back and he shows up to, you know, the pep rallies, and he shows up to all the high school football games. You know that guy. This, you know, Jeter's not that guy. You know what I mean? Jeter has moved on from baseball, and I have to assume that he's going to move on from baseball. He's going to move on, and he's going to travel. He's going to date. He's going to, you know, get into some charities, get into some businesses. Maybe he'll get married. Maybe he'll have kids. I can't see him not showing up for spring training. I can't see him not giving back to what made him who he is, and I'm sure he'll be around. But I would guess that his appearances are probably not going to be as frequent as some of these other guys. You know what I mean? They're not going to be running back to the state. He's not going to be running back to the stadium to answer the call for every single thing. I have to probably guess that, you know, he's, like I said, he's a little bit of a spiteful, vengeful guy. I'm sure that part of him is a little still pissed off at Brian Cashman for the treatment when they were doing those contract negotiations a couple of years ago. But that's Cheetah, so he won't be here for opening day. We go kind of transitioning to his teammates and him being the last of the core four guys. Throw Bernie into the mix. They are, they've announced this year that they are going to be retiring Bernie's, Jorge Posada's, and Bernie Posada and Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit's number this year. What are you going to say about that? You're going to say it's not a good idea? I could hear the argument. I definitely hear the argument where we're retiring too many jerseys. That's absolutely the case. I don't know, you know, if we stay at this rate, it's only mathematics will tell you that we're going to run out of room in Monument Park. We're not going to have enough numbers to put on people's jerseys. We're going to start having to give away triple-digit numbers. We all know, you know, if we continue the pace that we're at, that's where we're headed. But again, it's a double-edged sword. What are you supposed to do? I can see the argument where people say that we're giving away to we're trivializing and retiring people's numbers too quickly, but we started that process a long time ago. We retired Ron Guidry's number. We retired Don Mattingly's number. We retired Dave Winfield's number. And these are, I mean, don't get me wrong. These are you're speaking to me now. These are my hardcore guys. This is where I came up. I love these guys. But I don't know. Can you retire all their numbers? It's crazy. When I first started watching the Yankees, it was maybe, I don't know, five or six Yankees had their number retired. Maybe seven or eight. But it wasn't, you know, now it seems like, you know what? Give Donnie a day. Now, I think Donnie Mattingly is probably the only one who really does. But you're giving it to Reggie Jackson, and Reggie's a great player. Probably overall better than Don Mattingly. But as a Yankee, it's Mattingly. Winfield, borderline too. I don't think he was the level of player Mattingly was for that five-year run where Mattingly was the best player in baseball. But Dave Winfield's another guy, pitched for other teams. And to me, Guidry, while he was as dominant as anybody could be in that one year, he didn't have enough of a body of work, in my opinion, to really kind of have his number retired. Now you look at these guys, Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, and Andy Pettit. I could see you not retiring Jorge's number. You know what I mean? Jorge's one of my favorites. The fire he played with, I could see you being like, you know what, you know, Jorge, pat on the back. We'll have a little day for you. We'll honor you on Old Timers Day. But that's, you know, look at his numbers across the board. And while he was a warrior type mentality and part of the backbone of what got us, you know, I'll say, what, five championships? No, because he came in a little later. What did he get? Where did he end? He came in what, 2000? Well, three rings, I guess it was. He's got to get that respect, but I could see skipping that one. Bernie, I could see. Pettit, I could see. Now, people I heard on the radio, a little listening to the fan a little bit today, talking about stats and talking about what Andy Pettit didn't do. And, you know, that's Hall of Fame arguments, guys. That's what you argue about though in the Hall of Fame. You don't argue stats. I mean, you do argue stats, but it's more than stats when it comes to retiring the Yankee number. Andy Pettit, to me, that's I can see. I could see retiring his number. Take the drugs aside, the steroids aside, whatever. The fact that he did leave town for a couple years too, that, you know, that kind of sucks. But Andy Pettit, till his last day, till the end of his career, I didn't want anybody else out there besides Andy Pettit. Maybe he didn't have much under a 4 or right around 4 ERA for the career. Maybe he wasn't in the Cy Young conversation every single year. But Andy Pettit is the guy I want on the mound taking that ball. He puts those glove over that giant nose of his. He looks the camera dead in the eye. And, you know, this is just a guy who was just going to be a find-a-way type of guy. And that's what I'm worried about this team doesn't have. And we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, all three of these guys, I think you can go either way. I think Bernie is definitely a guy you want to kind of have out there. I would probably say the same thing about Pettit. And I like Jorge going in, but I could see the argument where, you know what, he didn't quite, you know, fit the bill. Where do you draw the line? It was just such a special time. It was a special era, and I think a lot of these guys are getting in based on the fact that they were, you know, not alone for the ride, driving the car, but driving the car by committee in such a time when it was just such a special time around New York City for the New York Yankees and their fans. But that's about it. What are you going to do? So I'm all right with it. It's going to be good. There's no doubt about it. They're selling tickets. You know how it is. I don't think they, you know, we'll get to this year's team again, like I said, but, you know, that just tells you right there, they got three special days lined up. You know they want to sell out those days. They probably are being a little political with this. They're probably trying to get some PR going with this as well. Do you knock them for that? What are you going to do? It is what it is. I don't know. I've learned to be a little bit more, I guess, forgiving / accepting of, you know, whatever. I've just been broken down by the machine. This stuff is about money. This stuff is about marketing, corporations. And, you know, I guess if you can't beat them, join them. It is what it is. And what are you going to do? It's what it is. This year's team overall, let's get into that. We're going to get a lot more detailed into it as the weeks go on. But basically what you're dealing with is, and I'll just go through the depth chart, and it's pretty much set across the board, you know, without any major injuries. We can pretty much tell you who the starting lineup is today. There are a couple of X factors if some things go the certain way, but right now it is what it is. It's not like too many battles going on. Ellsbury in center, Guardy in left, Beltran in right, Didi Gregorarias is I'll learn his name, probably how to pronounce his name somewhere in May or April. Stephen Drew at second base. I said Stephen Drew at second base. That's what the New York Yankees are going into war with. Stephen Drew at second base. Mark Teixeira at first. You got Headley over at third. McCann catching. And your staff is CeCe, Tanaka, Pineda, Evaldi, and what's his name? Caputo. How do you say his name? Caputo? Caputo? I don't know. Capuano. Sorry. I knew that. Across the board, and I guess A-Rod at DH, if you want to throw that in there. Across the board, now, you look at this team, and if everything goes right and nobody gets hurt and everybody performs up to the level of their ability and what we can expect from them, what we have seen from them in the past, you have a team that at best can probably fight for a wild card. Having said that, if we learned anything over the last 2-3 years as Yankee fans, we learned that that is an impossibility. Everybody, there's none of these guys are, how would you say it, proven or known for being grinders and, like, you know what I mean, finishing out a whole year. That ship sailed with Cano. That used to be CeCe, these types of guys. But none of these guys that are on this board right now are guys that, you know what, they're not good for a good, you know, 15, 30, 45 days of missed baseball throughout the year. Going one by one, Ellsbury had a good year last year. You know, you just saw, at the end of the year, stats were very, very, you know, underwhelming. But at the same time, you did get some glimpses of what level of a special player he could be. Beat you with the speed, beat you with the bat, you know, smart player, good defense, an overall solid baseball player. Didn't necessarily blow your doors off with the numbers by the end of the year, but, you know, hopefully he bounces back and has a good year, because you absolutely did see flashes of how dynamic he could be. Guardy, explosive player, one of my favorite, if not my favorite Yankee right now. He seems like he could do whatever. I mean, more than anything that I think we're lacking from when we used to, when we had that run in the 90s, early 2000s, was the fire. So much more than the actual stats on the field, so much more than even the ability, was the look in their eye that you could just see, in that, you know, they just wouldn't be beat. And you see that in Guardy. You don't see that in everybody else. Beltran, he's got superstar potential in his prime. He could still probably, I guess, flirt with that a little bit nowadays if he stays healthy. But he doesn't stay healthy. What do you want me to tell you? Tex, same exact thing. I'm going to save Steven Drew for last. Didi Grigoriaros has some potential. But you know what? He's a defensive specialist. And if things go the right way, maybe he can surprise you with, you know, hitting 280 and getting 18 to 20 home runs. Maybe. That seems like his ceiling, which is nice, but, you know, he's, you know, you don't have a lot of bangers behind him that are going to make up for that. Headley, I don't get it, honestly. He's a guy also that seems like a good piece, a good role player, a good fill-in type of guy. I don't know Cashman's hard on with this guy, but, you know, he's a good defensive player. He's a solid baseball player, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, don't think that, you know, you're taking the infield that we had, even in 2009, 2010, 2011, replacing with these guys and think we have a shot at anything. Come on, let's be realistic. You know baseball, Cashman. You know the game. You know what you're dealing with. I mean, I guess he kind of knows, and I guess, you know, we're looking at it as, like, at this point, maybe a little bit of a transitional year. But we've had a couple transitional years in a row, and you can't have too many transitional years in New York, as we know. We will have an uprising as fans. Steven Drew, I think he had a good year, right? He had one good year, whatever. You don't see things from Steven Drew that make you feel like he should be a Major League Baseball player. Bottom line, it's an insult. I mean, Didi Grigoriaros and Steven Drew are replacing Derek Jeter and Robinson Cano. Where, excuse my language, the fuck do you think this team is going to go? I mean, come on. Like, don't try to sell me on the fact, okay, we're getting younger, great. But, you know, it's just the way it looks right now, guys. Who knows? Maybe we need one more strong arm and one more strong bat. And I mean almost like at the star level. if you give me one more strong arm and one more strong bat, starting pitcher, and, you know, say an infielder, any position player that has a pop in their bat that can strike some fear into the opposing pitcher, I'm on board and I'm positive about this year. I'm thinking, you know what, we can battle. But I just said it right there. Who on this team scares you right now? Name one guy that, you know, comes up to bat and, you know, not even comes up to bat. He's on double deck and you know he's coming. Uh-oh, we got to face this guy. So let's start planning, you know, let's start game planning around 2-3 at-bats down the road because we got a guy on and we got so-and-so coming up to the plate, you know, if this guy gets on or, you know, whatever. We have nobody. There's nobody. McCann, I like too. I think McCann will bounce back a little bit. I think he'll have a better year than he did last year, but it's McCann. Is he going to hit you? Hit you 25 home runs. That's, you know, that's more than he's going to do. That's probably more than he will do. And that's about it, you know? So that's your New York Yankees so far. Your starting pitchers, boom, CeCe. you know the deal with CeCe. You want to be optimistic, but you can't rely on CeCe right now. You can't. He's people are excited that he's going to throw 92, 93. CeCe Sabathia used to be a 95 guy, and when he needed to, you know, climb the ladder, he'd get up to 97. And that's how he knows how to pitch. He's 340 pounds, 6'8". Now you got to tell me he's going to all of a sudden in 1 year learn how to be a finesse pitcher? Maybe he will. Maybe the last couple of years taught him how to do that. I don't know. We still don't know if he can physically play baseball anymore. He had a major surgery on his knee. I was under the impression from listening to the radio and stuff like that that, you know, that surgery was like a last resort shot in the dark. He's got arthritis in his knee. And he shouldn't be expected to come back. Now, I heard Buster Olney on ESPN.com talking about Tanaka, and I don't know if he's right or not, but what I heard him say was that Tanaka, he was kind of presenting it as though Tanaka, he was kind of doing a whole overall thing on the Yankees lineup, starting pitching, I should say, and when he got to Tanaka, he's like, Tanaka had a tear in his elbow, and he's going to need Tommy John surgery. Now, hopefully he won't need it now, but at some point, common thought is that he will eventually need to have Tommy John surgery on that elbow. It may be in spring training. It may be next year. It may be in 5 years. Now, he's, again, point being, he said it as though it was a foregone conclusion that it was definitely going to happen. Now, I don't know if that's true. If that's true, then there is no reason that he shouldn't have done it when he tore it last year on that slight tear. From all accounts that I got was that they thought that this was a temporary injury that can repair itself, and there's no reason why he shouldn't think that he's going to come back at full strength. So far, so good, knock on wood or whatever you have in front of you. But the way Buster Olney put it was that this is going to come back eventually. Did we know that? Is that a foregone conclusion, or is Buster just pulling that out of his ass? Because if he's pulling that out of his ass, he should be a little bit more responsible. And if it is true, and everybody kind of across the board says, yeah, he's eventually going to have to get it, then why the hell wouldn't he not have gotten it now? You know what I mean? This is the year to do it, right? I mean, this isn't like, you know, we got all the pieces in place, and Tanaka's that guy that we need to take us to the promised land, and we're going to friggin', you know, win 106 games. No, this is a shitty team. I always say it's a shitty team. This is not a team that you should have a whole lot of expectations from this year. It seems like they knew that last year. They knew what they were going to do. There wasn't a ton of moves. They could have got Scherzer. They could have got Shields. I'm not saying they should have, but they could have got all these guys, and they could have added these pieces, but they did not. So that tells you that they weren't looking at this year as like, okay, you know what, one more piece, one more cherry on top, and we're going to the World Series. No, they're putting a team out there that tells me that they're looking at this as a transition year. So if that's the case, why the hell wouldn't you have Tanaka get the surgery out of the way this year? Or, like I said, last year, right after he hurt the elbow initially. Pineda, one of the most talented guys in baseball, one of the most unhittable guys in baseball, with or without the scuff or the Vaseline or whatever the hell he's using. But a guy can't keep it together, can't stay healthy. Capuano, same thing. Not same thing at all. Sorry, I don't even know why I said same thing. But basically, Capuano is a journeyman. He can probably be a poor man's Carota. I don't think he's got the stuff that Carota has, but he's a decent pitcher. He's a talented guy. He's on the tail end of the career, and if he gives us those 2 years that Carota gave us or whatever it was, he did his job. Evaldi, he should be all right. You know what I mean? That's a guy you might want to get a little excited about. Starts a lot of games. Good solid pitcher on a bad team last year. Can eat some innings and is a young guy. And he may be a guy that, you know, with the right culture on the right team, we may be able to get a little bit more out of him. Look for him to have like that 500 record. You know what I mean? And that's that. So that's the team this year so far. Relievers are a strong suit of the team. I hope it's not a battle. I mean, Betances should be the closer. To me, he earned it. He was an all-star last year. He probably should have been the closer last year. Yeah, I understand there is a mental aspect to it that you have to kind of master as well. You saw Robertson. Honestly, Robertson, I'm not even so mad that he got let go because we didn't really have anything to play for. Anytime a real big spot came up, Robertson, you could tell he was shaky. He was not there. Ending with that Jeter game. You know what I mean? He had to. I know he wasn't doing that on purpose. He was trying to lock down this win for the captain, and he couldn't do it. So he scared the crap out of me a little bit. But Tantis is my guy. I want to see him be the closer, and hopefully that's the way it will break down. What else we got over here? A-Rod apology. Do we really need an A-Rod apology, guys? Do we really need it? I don't care. I know what they're saying about, you know, he apologized to the front office, and now they want him to get a press conference together and apologize to the fans in a press conference at Yankee Stadium. I guess it's still up in the air at this point, 11:53 on February 16th. If he's going to actually do it or not, I guess he's leaning towards doing it. But I don't see the point. To me, and I was one of the last guys that was trying to kind of like think of any reason why we should still trust A-Rod or not hate him. I went when the lawyer went on Boomerang, Carden, Tacopina, and then, you know, I would buy in a little bit. Then the lawyer jumped ship and he's suing him. So I don't know. My mind was I guess jaded. I wanted A-Rod to, you know, I love a good comeback story. I love an underdog story. When people pile on, it's my nature to kind of like start defending them. And I was wrong for defending A-Rod. The guy did what he did. He lied again. Is he a bad guy? I don't say he's a bad guy, but he's definitely a liar, and he definitely is not to be trusted. So who the hell needs a freaking apology from this guy? Let's just let him play baseball, and you know what? If he freaking starts hitting home runs, people will cheer the shit out of him. That's going to happen. If he starts hitting home runs, he will get standing ovations. He will be a conquering, returning hero by his play on the field, not by anything he says or does off the field whatsoever. So that's that on A-Rod. Mancada, this guy, I say you go after him. You know what I mean? He's 19 years old. He plays second base. You have a guy who may not even start on some softball teams, some minor league teams, playing second base for you right now, the way he's been hitting. I know he's showed flashes in the past. I know that. He has a history. But the last couple of years, between the injuries, between just the ineffectiveness, I don't know if something was wrong with him. You got to be able to hit 200, bro. You're playing second base for the New York Yankees. I need you hitting 200, okay? He wasn't able to do that. So I say you give this Mancada kid a try. What's the worst that could happen? The guy, literally, have you seen him? The guy looks like a freaking outside linebacker. And very athletic, strong kid. Let's take him. He's obviously he's right in that Yasiel Puig mold, where just an over-the-top, super-duper athlete. Let's take our baseball guys and turn this guy into a polished baseball player. Let's go get him. Let's go after him and let's go get him. Again, us as fans, we love to have something to get excited about. And at this point, we have nothing. Speaking of getting excited about things, you know, that's one of the complaints I've had with the teams over the years, where we don't have fire. We don't have that. Again, I continue to go back. There was a thing, and you're always going to analyze, why did we win back in the day, and why do we not win now? Is it just because of the stat line? No. It's because when you looked at Paul O'Neill, you knew he'd rather freaking stick his hand in a deep fryer than let his team down. You know what I mean? You look at Bernie Williams. He's running out of his helmet in these freaking long strides every single time he hits a ground ball. Same with Derek Jeter. Pettit, out of sheer will, he has nothing left. His average stuff as a big leaguer. But when the game is on, when the game is tight and the pressure is on, he is going to find something deep within him and give it to you, and it's going to get you over the top. You just don't see that with these guys. You kind of see it with Gardner. Gardner really is the only guy on that team that you like to watch because of the intensity. Of course, he does a lot of dumb stuff too. He gets a lot of he gets thrown out of games. He argues with umpires. He fires people up, and sometimes the wrong way. But at least you watch Gardner, and you got a guy who puts his heart into it. You know what I mean? To me, that was two of the guys that we got rid of, Prado and Cervelli. You know, I'm not going to tell you that these guys are, you know, championship caliber ball players, but I just think you need a little bit of that on your team. I think you need that fighter's mentality, that, you know, that the guts, the hustle, the grit. You just don't have it with these guys, or at least I don't see it. Hopefully I will. Maybe they'll pleasantly surprise me. I'm excited for the year. Don't get me wrong. I almost like this a little bit better because it's fun to me, it's less fun when you're coasting through the year and, you know, you're supposed to win. And when you're in the playoffs, it just becomes like ho-hum and, yeah, another World Series. Like back, it started to get crazy back in the day. Like, you don't get excited for the regular season games. Now it's a season-long grind, and you're excited to watch these guys. Will they mesh? Will they, you know, will they beat off the injury bug? Will they? Will somebody emerge? Will one of the young guys emerge and take their claim like Betances did last year, and show that they're going to be the next star? Will one of these old freaking guys, you know, recapture what they used to have this year? I'm excited to see if any of that stuff happens, and I'm hoping it does. And that's it. So it is 11:58, February 16th. I'm going to hopefully do these on a semi-regular basis as much as possible. Please spread the word. It's called Yankees and Gravy. It's on iTunes. And we hope you keep tuning in. Thanks for listening, guys.